We started yesterday, we discussed various introductions and important essential key points with regards to Issa Shehiyah. Just to recap very briefly, we learned that Issa Shehiyah is the Issa that Chachomim established because of Shema Yichate. Chachomim were concerned that if somebody has uncooked food on the fire before Shabbos comes in, that he may Chas V'Shalom end up stoking it in order to progress and to speed it up a bit, the cooking of the foods. Chachomim were very concerned about that. Chachomim therefore said, no, you can't have any uncooked foods on the fire when Shabbos comes in. And this is very much unlike, in contrast to all the other melachas, you're allowed to start putting them in place before Shabbos, into Shabbos. When it comes to cooking, no, you're not allowed to have something uncooked on the fire because you may end up speeding up the cooking process by stoking the fire. We learned that he says, that is Machlokes Hananya and Chachamim. That Hananya held that if something is cooked kemachel ben dusoi, which is either a third or half cooked, Hananya felt was of the opinion that once it's like that cooked already, people are not going to start stoking the fire because they're fully they relax and they say, oh, it will be all right. It was going to be edible already, and therefore Hananya held that from the stage of machel ben dusoi, the Issa, the Chachomim Gzeira, the provision of Shehiyah does not apply anymore. Machal Medusoi, no Issa Shehiyah. Chachomim disagreed. Chachomim said, no. People are still going to stoke the fire potentially if it's Machal Medusoi. And they felt only when it's fully cooked, only at that point the Issa Shehiyah is removed. But as long as it's not fully cooked, if it's on the fire, when Shabbos comes in and it's not fully cooked, there's an Issa, the Rabbanon of Shehiyah. That's what we learned yesterday. Now, we started speaking about a gufo v'ketuma, which is the rule that makes it permitted. I want to speak about today about the various exceptions when the Issa Shehiyah doesn't apply. In other words, when actually are you allowed to keep an uncooked food on the fire, an uncooked dish on the fire, when are you allowed to do so? When does the Issa Shehiyah not apply? Okay, so yesterday we discussed about the Issa Shehiyah when it does apply. Tonight we're going to be focusing on when the Issa Shehiyah does not apply. And this is very relevant because we want to know how do you keep foods on the fire, dish on the fire on when Shabbos comes in? How do you do it? So what's the answer? Does anybody ever have uncooked food? No, it's always fully cooked. Fully cooked always?
Sushi
is a very good case. Absolutely. All right, okay, I'm not sure, quite sure what it is. I'm embarrassed to say. Okay, sounds all right. Okay, so you know, it's never cooked. Is that items you should never cook?
The Babylonian Kohanim would have Shalom, like Erev Yom Kippur, or Motzei Yom Kippur, or something with the Shabbos.
Kuta Chabavli.
Sorry?
Kuta Chabavli?
I don't remember. I remember there was the Kohanim from Babel.
They would eat it.
Offering that they couldn't.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, okay, so you know what the truth is? It might be connected a little bit to the chai that we're going to speak about. Okay, so I want to quickly start from Seif Aleph again. We'll be focusing on the second part of the Seif. So we need to keep in mind that Issa Shehiyah applies from Hananya, Chachomim, we need to keep in mind, either from Achim Dusoy or from his special Kotsokoi, he said doesn't apply anymore. Okay, I want to get to a very interesting Rav Moshe as well, who speaks about our contemporary gas stoves. And as to whether, how does that work nowadays in terms of needing to cover it up and all that. So I want to get to that Rav Moshe, which is a fascinating tshuva Rav Moshe wrote. So let's see if we can get to that, but we first need to see Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah Seif Katan Yud Dalet. So let's see. Okay, so let's start again from the Siman Reish Nun Gimel Seif Aleph. Kira she'asui k'kdeiro v'soif sin alpiyo k'deiro melemalo. So this is the kira, means the fireplace, which basically looks like an upside down pot, and you put the saucepan on top of that to cook. V'yesh b'makom svisa shtei k'deiros, and it's the kind of sized heating arrangement that you have space on top for two saucepans. It's quite big. Him huska begefes. Now, that is also a very important point. Now, what's the fuel? What is the fuel? Shulchan Aruch says, we are talking about a fuel is huska begefes, it can either be fueled by gefes, which is shipsole shel zeisim, residue of olives, burns really nicely, either from olives, leftovers, or be eating or wood. Both of them, olives, residue, gefes, or eitzim, wood, burn really well. And you know what? They are consistent fires as well, and they're strong fire. So, and it on a barbecue if wood burns well. It normally, yeah, we'll see coals better, but okay, they burn. So now, these are all, despite the fact that they burn well, however, we all appreciate that there may be potentially a problem of, they might not, you know, with woods, often they need to be turned around. Think about, like Boima, think about Erev Pesach. You need to sometimes, like, put your, it's not a consistent kind of fire. It does burn okay, but you need to stoke it. So therefore, Chachamim made Issa Shia, because of, you may potentially stoke it. So therefore it says that if the fuel is zeisim, olives, or wood, eitzim, also lit in a tafshel, you're not allowed to put the dish, maybe them on Friday, la'ashoysoy, to keep it there, or lay on it. Why? Why? Because it's a shiur. Unless, Elohim kein, it's special kotzor, unless it's fully cooked. If it's fully cooked as Shabbos comes in, what do we say then? Then, it's a shiur doesn't apply. According to which opinion is that again? Chachamim, because according to Hananya, even less than that, even earlier than that, would be all right. According to Hananya already, if it's mevushal machal b'dosoi, he would be fine. But no, Chachamim seems to, the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin over here, like the opinion that if it's mevushal kol tzoker only then his hashir doesn't apply. V'u metztamek, and pirush, v'u oilech v'chose v'raloi, and from that point already the cooking is overcooking, it's not good anymore, then his hashir doesn't apply. But again, if it's not fully cooked yet, his hashir does apply, and it's also his hashir to keep food there. Telek alamecha shamayichate. Now, full stop. Now we're going to speak about the first exception. Now I haven't been sorry about this, and I wonder what you think about it. It says she'oishu chai, raw meat. Rabbi Say, what do you think about raw meat? If you're cooking raw meat on Erev Shabbos, you put it in. What do you feel about that? Do you think that Issa Shia makes sense or not? Right.
Raw piece of meat and all the beans and everything. And that's fine.
Okay. So Shulchan Aruch teaches us. Hoi shu chai, raw meat. Raw meat. Rabbi say put raw meat, shloni special chai, which hasn't cooked at all. So Shulchan Aruch is teaching us that the kivin shu chai, if you've got raw meat, which has not been cooked at all, and you put it on the fire just before Shabbos, any way this could be cooked for Friday night meal? No way. Why? Because raw meat takes... I'm not sure myself, but it takes a while. It's no way going to be ready for Friday night meal. It's just not going to happen. True or not true? Therefore, raw meat... They do what?
2.5 hours.
Oh. Oh, I see. Okay.
We'll do that here as well. So,
okay, so it's going to take another 15 years.
Another
15
years.
Yeah. Okay, so Shulchan Aruch says, if it is raw meat, Messiah Taitim Imeno, he will take his mind off. He's not expecting to serve it and to eat it on Friday night. No way! Why did he put it on the fire? When does he want to eat it? Shabbos Day. A cholent. He wants kashmak, a cholent, raw meat, kashmak. He put it in on Friday night. He's not going to steal cholent. He's not going to steal cholent on Friday night. He's one of those people that can manage to hold himself back. Don't know how. But he's one of those that doesn't steal cholent on Friday. You know, he's one of those that can get. And he's not. He knows very well that he is not going to eat raw meat. Raw meat. So when did he cook it for? He's cooking it for Shabbos Day. Now, since it's out of question for him to eat it on Friday night, it's out of question. Leil Shabbos? No, it's not going to happen. Messiah Taitoi, he takes his mind off the meat. Ad lemocha, until tomorrow. Uvechol alaylo, and the whole night, yochal is pashal, he can't get cooked, but loichitu without stoking. He doesn't need to stoke. He doesn't need to stoke. Why does he need to stoke it? You're not in a hurry. You're going to have tomorrow, you have 12 hours for it to cook. 12 hours. You don't need to stoke it. It's going to be fine. It's going to be all right. Just relax. And the person is automatically going to relax, and therefore he's not going to stoke it, and therefore Gzeirah Chomim of Shia does not apply. Whether Hananya, whether Rabbanon, whoever you are, if there's raw meat, if it's raw meat, you're not going to stoke, and it's permitted. Yeah.
Why wasn't there a chashash that someone else who didn't do the cooking doesn't know?
Very good. Now, you're asking a very good question, which is, interestingly, it's not even discussed in the Achron. It's only in a recent Shalit. The Rishonim don't speak about it. Generally, and this is, I'm going to keep the question on, I'm going to shelve it for a minute, because generally we're going to see that there is something called Goruf Vekotum, and that seems to apply also for, you know, let me get back to your question shortly, okay? It's a really interesting question. So, I will imli spashel ktsas. What happens if it's slightly cooked? Okay, you've got that meat. Whatever it is slightly cooked, but it's not fully cooked. Then even if it is fully cooked, then it's gonna, we are concerned shemayichate. If it's already a little bit cooked, what's gonna happen? Okay, if it's slightly cooked already, people are gonna, when the smell comes out, this cholent is a good one. It's coming out good. The meat is good meat. And it's starting to cook already? Then you don't know. Then people sometimes say, actually, it's worth waiting a bit for this, and you start ending up to stoking, and you wanna hurry this. You wanna still chaperan on Friday night for this one. You wanna still chaperan. You go, it will be all right. And you suddenly take the thing and you start stoking it. So therefore, since it is slightly cooked as Shabbos comes in, you've got a problem here, and the Issa Shia applies again. So the heter of or what's called chai, raw meat. Raw meat only applies if it's completely uncooked as Shabbos comes in. If it is slightly cooked as Shabbos comes in, the heter does not apply. Rabbi Sai, does this only apply for meat or also for vegetables? What about potatoes? Raw potato on the fire. Do you think that it is a shia does apply or does not apply? Potato. No, at the moment I'm talking separate.
Probably not.
Probably, does it apply or does not apply? Does not apply.
Cooks quick.
So you're saying that it does apply? That it is also?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So at 100%, everybody under the sun agrees that the heter of chai, or raw, that's only with regards to meat. Because meat, what?
Takes a long time.
And that's why Messiah Taitu, the man takes up and says, oh, meat, I'm not gonna end up stoking, because he knows that it's only gonna happen tomorrow. He's only gonna eat it. There's no way he's gonna start stoking it, because there's no point. However, when it comes to vegetables, potatoes, carrots, whatever it is, even if it's raw, as he puts it on Friday night, he might be raw, but it's gonna cook much quicker, and a person might end up stoking to eat it on Friday night. Again, the gzeira of, let's be very clear in this, the gzeira of Shehiya is otu, Havor is Shema Yichate. You're going to end up stoking. Stoking is to speed up the cooking process. And you're going to end up speeding up the cooking process if it's vegetables. You're going to end up, you want to eat it on Friday night. But if it's raw meat, there's no point stoking, and therefore it's permitted.
Chicken.
Very good. Specifically, which meat it is, that's good. It's discussed later in Shulchan Aruch, which meats. You're right. In principle, you're right that if it is a meat, that it may potentially cook quick enough. That it may, you're quite right. That hits as well. I want to add another point as well, yeah.
If it's in the winter, you've got these really long Friday nights, so they can start burning, and you don't want to put out the fire.
Yeah, very good. And I'm going to add a bit something. I'm going to add a point to what you're saying. That Lemaisa, the poskim also discussed. They're very busy. The contemporary poskim, Shlomo Zalman, Rav Eliashiv, Rav Wozniak speaks also about it. They're worried. They say, what happens if a person, I thought that's what you're asking about, the long Friday night. In the summer, where people are Mekabel Shabbos early, what's the halacha then? How do you do that? How does it work then? Does it go according to Shkia? Does it go according to when you Mekabel Shabbos? How does it work? And it remains a bit of a question mark. It's not clear. It's not clear. If you're Mekabel Shabbos early, and as you're Mekabel Shabbos early, it's raw. But it's not really, I'm saying, it's taking a long time. So that's not so posh. But more than that, I would like to share with you a Messiah which some of the Achronim say. I know that a lot of posts came quote nowadays as a Torah of Henken, which was like the Chavus, the Rebbe of Remoshe. Remoshe called Rav Henken his Rebbe. Henken, he was a very, very an outstanding Torah giant in America, one of the very early founders of Torah in America, and he was a contemporary of Reb Moshe. Finally, Moshe called him his Rebbe, and but Rav Henken was they were all in this battle datum one to the other. Reb Moshe had a psak, his famous psak about the fridge, opening fridge on Shabbos, and when he heard that Rav Henken was asked it. He was afraid. Moshe was normally very self-confident, but he heard Rav Henken, he didn't want to pass him against Rav Henken. He wanted to pass him against the famous opinion of Rav Henken, and vice versa as well. So it was a very, very interesting relationship. So Rav Henken is one interesting psak, and I think it's very interesting. And a lot of poskim, they quote Rav Henken, although it doesn't go in line at all with what the Mishneh Berurah says. He says that nowadays the head of Rumi doesn't apply anymore. It doesn't apply anymore. And I want to just add that it may be very relevant because the heta of raw meat is not only if the whole item is raw meat. What happens if you've got a cholent, you've got potatoes, you've got a dish, and there's some raw meat in there? Do you think that the gzeir of Shem Echate does apply or does not apply? Is it also or is it not also? If there's some, pardon? Shem Emotah, that's right. Exactly. So therefore, that's also something which is halacha, that it doesn't have to be only the whole thing just being meat. That we're saying that the heter of chai applies. But in fact, even if there is some meat as well, nobody's going to start stoking it because you're not going to end up eating it. How can you eat it? Lots of it is meat. You're not going to stoke it. You're not going to stoke it because there's meat. So the gzeir of shi'i does not apply whether it is only meat or partially, only raw meat or partially raw meat. So anyways, I'm just saying that it's quite relevant. So Rav Henken says that one second here, he says, nowadays you can't rely on the heter of chai at all. Any guess why? Oh, I want to get to that. That's a Moshe, I want to get to that. That's not what he says though. He brings various svaros. What do you think? If you would have a, would you be safe to have a raw meat, just as Shabbos comes in? Raw meat, do you think it'd be safe from stoking or not? Why?
Other people might not know.
Other people, okay, let's leave this out. That's not what he's referring to, yeah?
Don't stoke anymore. I mean, we have different types of ovens in my house anyway, so our ovens are not Kiras or Kirais.
Is there a modern equivalent to stoking?
Okay, yes, there is. There may be indeed. Okay, so let's talk about that. That's Moshe. But we first need to address... Okay, so let's first speak about Rav Henken, and then we're going to get to Moshe. Rav Henken says that nowadays our contemporary kitchen, our modern kitchen, has got heats and fires which are far stronger than a kiro that we're discussing. And he says, you never know. How long does it take? Anybody into cooking? How long does it take to cook raw meat nowadays? So how long does it take? Depends what meat it is. Okay, so between what and what? Between what and what?
We're all blagging, we've all got wives.
There's no blanket rule. Okay, so if Henkin Al Kopponim was concerned, he said that there is nowadays, our kitchens nowadays are equipped with far stronger heat than a kira, and he says that you can't just assume that just because you've got raw meat on the fire on Shabbos, as Shabbos comes in, you can't just assume that a person is going to say, fine, no worries, we'll be fine tomorrow, I'm not going to stoke tonight. He said, it's not so partial. He says, nowadays, we'll speak about this equivalent of stoking in a minute, we'll speak about that. But he said, once we establish that there is stoking nowadays as well, he said that, you know what, it could very well be that a person is going to end up stoking for raw meat nowadays because the fires nowadays are stronger. It's not the kira of the Mishnah's times, it's the modern kitchens that we have got nowadays, which are equipped with far stronger heat. And Rav Henken therefore says that you can't rely on raw meat at all. You can't rely. And he says also that the doiras are weaker, and people can't distinguish exactly raw meat, not raw meat, little bit cooked, not a little bit cooked. He says, when is exactly Shabbos coming in? He's got various cheshbonis. Al kaponim alocha, he doesn't rely on it, and so do most poskim nowadays, will not allow putting raw meat on the fire just as Shabbos comes in. They will not allow. Good, so that's going to be very much. I want to get to that in a minute.
And more than that, the svara will be on the other direction. You don't need to stoke something which is a better fire. The whole cunst of stoking it was because it was an unreliable fire. now I've got these advice, there's really no reason why anyone ever
stole. Okay, good. So let's talk about that. So there is very much that let's talk about that. There is a question about the tanur, which I'm not going to address now, which is the oven, but the gas stoves nowadays. So the question is that most poskim, in fact, I think every posik that speaks about Hilchos Shabbos, will ask that question. Are the stoves that we have got nowadays, does the gzeira of Shema Yechate apply, yes or no? And I will not now, I will keep the discussion out of the electric rings, the electric, what are they called? Hobbs. I'm not going to speak about that. I'm going to speak about the gas. Does the gzeira of Shehiyah apply with the gas stoves or not? Does it apply or not? So Rabbi said, what do you think? Oh, so Rabbi Feingold says, Pashtos, no reason why not. Okay, 1 second, covering is already a heter. I'm not talking about the heter, I'm talking about in principle. Before we get to the theorem of Guf Ketuma and taking the knobs off. He said that in principle, he said there is, fine, because you do increase and decrease, and therefore, there is the Gzer of Shem Echad Eshul, does apply. Okay, now Rabbi Feingold makes a Hanocha, which in fact, most poskim agreed Halocha, is that there is no difference between stoking with a stick and stoking by turning it on and off. It's a hanocha, it's an assumption, but we can all hear it. No, Rabbi Kagan, what do you tell? Increase and decrease should be the same thing. Now, I want to share with you a fascinating Moshe Feinstein. This is a svara that you could see in this beautiful svara. You could see the goyness and the honesty and the beauty of Moshe Feinstein. It's just it's one of those tshuvas that are just like, wow. Moshe Feinstein says the following. He says, to be honest, he says there's a huge difference between a fire and a gas. Moshe Feinstein, the tshuva that he wrote in 1950, Tovshin Yudalev in 1951, to a young man in the Kol, and he writes the following. He says, to be perfectly honest, he says, what is exactly the definition of stoking a fire? You've got a fire that is going schwach, and that very fire you want to stoke in order to give it a new life. You take a stick, and you... He says, when you have a gas hob, what are you really doing by increasing it? What are you doing really? You increase. What happens? There's more gas coming, right? I mean, the little I know about it, and is that there's all those little things, and there's more gas going through. There's more gas. So he says the equivalent would be, Ramosha says, look at that beautiful swallow. So the equivalent is not stoking. He says the equivalent would be to you bringing... more wood. He said, adding more wood. He said, it's not the equivalent at all. He said, the equivalent of he said, the equivalent is bringing more wood. He said, if you're increasing the gas to a higher, it's not that you're stoking, you're bringing more fuel. You are bringing more fuel, the merchant says. You're bringing more fuel. He said, Chachamim were never concerned about bringing new fuel. There's no such clear. Chachamim were concerned about stoking, about making the fire working better. Chachamim were never concerned that Yid is going to go to the shed and go out to the thing and bring more wood, bring more gefes, more zeisim, bring more fuel. Chachamim were never concerned about that. Hence, says Ramosh, consequently, Ramosh says, L'choyram isvorem, our gas stoves that we have in our kitchen, L'choyram, says Ramosh, the gzera of Shehiyah does not apply at all. That's what he says. Yeah.
On a Lamaish level, I don't know what other people do. I don't use gas at all on Shabbos. I think probably most people generally don't because it's dangerous and scary. On that basis, if we're using an oven with a timer, or we're using a slow cooker or a hot plate, then the halakha is going to be different again.
Yeah.
It's going to be more of a Lamaish stuff because that's...
Okay, we'll get to the hot plates, but that's not going to be tonight. But does anybody still, you all remember your parents with the blechs? You probably all brought up with blechs. You know the blech, the metal thing? Yeah? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the blech. Yeah, the metal thing. Yeah? You all remember it? You don't know what this is? Seriously, the young generation, look at that. What? You use the blech, oh, very good. Okay, very good, the blech. Yeah? So you've got that metal sheet, yeah? It looks like a bit like an L shape, and you come right. So that's we'll speak about that because that's good for 2 months. But in principle, Moshe says that our gas stoves really shouldn't be. He said that the equivalent of increasing the fire is like increasing the fuel.
To increase
decrease.
Decrease is taken with the wind.
Okay, so let's leave out Hilchos Yom Tov now. I just want to get to this. So the Ramosha says that Lemaisa, it's a long tshuva, and as you may expect, however beautiful the svar is, Ramosha doesn't want to be mekel halacha. He says that he feels that in principle this is not a comparison. He said that it's not really, it doesn't really apply to the shir. But Lemaisa, he says that Hayoy, considering the fact that nowadays that's the apparatus that we have got in the kitchen, and you can't just like shovel away the whole Issa Rabbanon. He said, Lemaisa, that Issa applies as well, because, you know, English, Lemaisa is not Mekel. But I just feel the Svore is so beautiful. It's beautiful, no? It's really nice. He said, it's not really comparable, but Lemaisa, he says that, Lemaisa, you should be Ma'un, should be Machmir, must be Machmir. So, once you've established that, we've got a big Chiddush. And the Chiddush, some disagree with the Moshe as well, but we've got a Chiddush, and we have established now that the knobs itself, that there is an Issa Shehiyah with regards to the knobs. That the increase and decrease of the flame, that will also be considered Issa Shehiyah. Now, I want to mention for 1 minute now, what about the electric ones? What about looking at Ramosha's Svara and looking at the Issa Drabon of Shehiyah? Do you think that the electric ones, if you've got electric at home, do you think that electric is also according to Ramosha or not?
Chazanish?
Rav Eliashiv or Chazanish?
Chazanish.
Yeah.
And electricity.
It's
going to be some kind of issue when you're...
Yeah, it's probably, yeah.
But there are three different technologies, I think, that they use. There's induction and there's just regular rings. And they're going to be slightly different. But you're either increasing a variable resistor or you're not, or decreasing variable resistor, or you're switching from one circuit to another circuit.
Okay. So either way, you're going to be doing Havara.
Is it comparable to
bringing you fuel, or is it about stoking?
I think it's completely different. I think it's actually switching on and off circuitry. So it's not really about the visual. It's about the fact that it's the same. It's sort of switching on your PC.
Okay.
It's closer to the
device. Right. Okay, do we agree to that? What do you hold?
Yeah, not very much.
Okay. It's the expert. Yeah. Yeah.
Just clarify, if you have a gas oven, yeah, and you put it on the highest, is there no issue of
Gufuktuma? No Issa? No Heta of Gufuktuma? Gufuktuma is Heta, yes. Why not? You're saying now, okay, so you're asking that since if we've established now that there's also Issa Shehiyah of Shema Yichata, is it Issa Shehiyah on the, according to that, if it's on the strongest, why would the Issa Shehiyah plant? You can't stoke it any further. Now, I imagine that the answer to that is that if it doesn't go strong enough, it goes, you turn it on and off. No, it wouldn't. Yeah, maybe loy plug. The beginning time is just a loy plug, because. I wonder, Reverend Frankel, what would you tie in it? If I've got to set a beautiful, beautiful fire on its strongest fire that the Kira can take, a really strong fire, what would you say then? Why would the Gezeirah still apply? Because you could...
From one end of the Kira to another, it goes...
But here, this is...
The coals are...
Yeah.
The coals automatically go out as...
And here not. Yeah. Yeah, I think we have to go with your Mahalach. Okay, Rabbi Isai. We have covered tonight, we have recapped a little bit about Issa Shehiyah in principle. Today we've gone into greater detail about the heter of chai, that if something is completely raw, then the Issa doesn't apply. We spoke about that it doesn't have to be all raw, but some of it, even if some of it is raw, the Issa doesn't apply. We then started speaking a little bit about the we spoke about Ramosha's Svara, Patalocha Lemaisa, he holds that you can't be making like that. And we'll speak tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, about the Guf of Ketuma, and how does that apply nowadays with the hot plates and the blech? That will be discussed tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Good evening.